understand the deputy minister in the district to this meeting. And our support members, as we know that in the NPP, minister, we don't have like time, and it's not to say that we don't like change. Much better to the provinces, but normally we'll have the meetings after that. You are committed to other meetings. That is why usually we request that our meetings are scheduled for 2.5 hours, which really is not enough if we really have to do justice. But it's something that is beyond our control. On that note, I don't want to waste any time because I think we know each other. Honourable members, you know your ministers, so you know the DG. Unfortunately, the gentleman that died. But I think when we interact, it will give us an opportunity to introduce ourselves. On that note, honourable members and minister, let me just give straight to the department to give us a briefing on the trust plan and the APP.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, Deputy Minister and DG. As prescribed, Sports and Recreation South Africa tabled its annual performance plan for the 2013-2014 financial year to Parliament in March 2013. The performance indicators captured in the 2013-14 APP are aimed to realize the strategic objectives as outlined in the 2012-2016 strategic plan of the department as well as in the National Sports and Recreation Plan. As indicated in the 2013-2014 APP, SRSA will continue to strive towards the actualization of its vision of an active and winning nation. In terms of active, our participation levels as a nation remain relatively low, and to address this, SRSA will dedicate resources to programs fostering recreation and mass participation. As a winning nation, we certainly have pockets of excellence as showcased in the 2012 London Olympics. However, this comes at a high cost. It is broadly acknowledged that we can do better, and to this end, SRSA will engage stakeholders including the primary delivery agent, the South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee, to review the delivery of programs relating to excellence and high performance. The year ahead will see SRSA setting the agenda for sport in South Africa. The aim of the department is to maximize access, development and excellence at all levels of participation in sport and recreation, to improve social cohesion, nation building and the quality of life of all South Africans. The vision is informed, but it is acknowledged that there are gaps when translating the vision into practice, and 2013 will see this being addressed. This progress was initiated by the drafting of the first ever National Sports and Recreation Plan, which received cabinet approval in May 2012. The 2013-2014 annual performance plan was also developed to ensure that SRSA addressed the strategic direction emanating from the National Development Plan and government priorities. On 19 February 2013, Ministers Trevor Manuel and Collins Chabane briefed the media on the implementation of the National Development Plan. It is encouraging to note that recreation and leisure is recognized as a core element in the NTP. Following a thorough scan of the NTP, SRSA ensured that all the sports-related issues referred to in the NTP are properly covered in the strategic documents of the department. The NTP recognizes that sport plays an important role in promoting wellness and social cohesion, and treats sport as a cross-cutting issue with related proposals in the chapters on education, health, and nation building. It is acknowledged that sport and physical education are integral part of a child's development. The NDP states that the best place to instill changes in lifestyles and behavior is at school. The NDP also advocates that schools should have access to adequate facilities and urges all schools to be supported to participate in organized sport at local, district, provincial and national levels. Sport and recreation teaches discipline and it is an integral component of a healthy lifestyle and enables South Africans to share common space. It is clear from the above excerpts from the NDP that sport and recreation play a pivotal role in promoting wellness and social cohesion, and that benefits can be derived by both the education and health sectors. The NDP also acknowledges the significant role that sport plays with regards to fostering nation building. The following are some of the key projects of the 2013-14 financial year. South African Schools National Championship, National Indigenous Games, Sports Awards, Soweto Tennis Open, WADA World Conference, Netball Premier League, and Basketball. There are 5 programs in the department and some of the main activities planned for the 2013-14 financial year include the following. Program 1, Administration. In evaluating the human resources required to implement the sports plan, it was evident that the current structure of SRSA was totally inadequate and inappropriate in some areas. The new structure is finalized and job evaluations of all proposed posts were completed and submitted to DPSA. The organizational review of the department is high on the agenda for the 2013-14 financial year. The review is informed by the strategic imperatives as captured in the strategic plan and NDP. The purpose to address the existing space challenges imposed by the current building which SRSA is occupying will be addressed through a detailed needs analysis and scoping exercise where staff will be asked to provide inputs. Growth projections along a 20-year timeline and migration plans will be drafted. It is imperative that the new location includes space for a sports house to ease the current administrative burden experienced by the smaller national federations. A non-financial staff incentive scheme, the Green Stars, has been introduced to recognize and reward staff delivering work of an exceptional start. Sub-program legislation acts, National Sport and Recreation Act, following the adoption of the Sports Plan Amendment to this Act, need to be considered. South African Boxing Act, this Act will be repealed following the promulgation of the South African Combat Sport Bill. Safety at Sports and Recreation Events, South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport Act. Bills envisaged to be promulgated in 2014 is South African Combat Sport Bill and Fitness Industry Bill. Regulations, a recognition of sport and recreation body regulations, bidding and hosting of international sport and recreational events regulations, regulations to be promulgated in 2013, funding of sport or recreational bodies regulations, safety at sport and recreational events, sub-program communication, innovative methods to revive the Your Sport publications have begun. The popular magazine informs the public about the work of SRSA and creates an awareness of the role of government in sport. In terms of promotional mascots, the Taguma mascot will be deployed to promote the 2014 African Nations Championships, while the 2013 World Conference on Doping in Sports will be profiled with the use of the Hako Zonke mascot, the Shingo mascot and related branded merchandise will be produced in 2013 and marketed to school children. A further idea to attract the youth to participate will be introduction of the sports pass. The sports pass, which will have a retro pass look, will work on a similar basis to the old-fashioned ice cream van that attracts people with an easily identifiable tool. Exceptional athletes, coaches, administrators, and technical officials have the opportunity to be profiled in the Little Green Book, the second edition of which will be produced in July 2013. Selected athletes will be publicly acknowledged at the prestigious South African Sports Awards in November 2013 at the Sun City Super Bowl. The awards will celebrate and reward achievement in sport and provide a platform for luminaries in sport on and off the field to be acknowledged. In an effort to further recognize our sporting greats, preliminary engagements will commence to 2013 to investigate the feasibility of establishing a National Sports Hall of Fame. It is envisaged that this could be managed as a public entity by the Department of Arts and Culture. A project to research and document the history of sport in the country was successfully initiated during April 2013. The exhibition launched is entitled, a quote, "Meet the Heroes of the Sport Struggle, Remembering Sport in the Struggle, a Human Rights Perspective Exhibition," close quote. One of the programs benefiting from the Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Day is the Green Jacket Program, which was established in 2011 to recognize men and women who have excelled in sport either as players or officials. They are awarded with a sought-after green jacket in recognition of their sporting prowess and achievements in their playing days. An inaugural Ministerial Golf Day will be hosted in October 2013 to provide a platform to interact with stakeholders, donors, and potential corporate sponsors for the sector. A client satisfaction survey assessing the efficiency and effectiveness of SRSA will be conducted in 2013. Program 2, Sport Support Services. Historically, SRSA provided financial support to up to 17 national federations per annum, as reflected in the MTEF. Considering current financial constraints and return on investment, more strategic investments will need to be made. National federations will be graded to ascertain an overall assessment of needs, and SRSA will then work closely with those federations requiring institutional support. In future, funding to all national federations will be instituted according to the recognized sport bodies grant framework. Funding will be provided across two tiers: guaranteed funding, fundamentally for administration, and conditional funding, which will constitute the bulk of the funding that will address issues of governance, transformation, and performance. SRSA will also prioritize federations and ensure that prioritized federations are capacitated to optimally deliver their programs to realize the SRSA vision of an active and winning nation. A Netball Premier League will be launched in 2013. The National Basketball League, after being launched in March 2013, will commence in September 2013. In 2013, tennis is earmarked to benefit from additional support with the revival of the Soweto Tennis Open, being a prioritized event for April 2013. Financial and institutional support will be rendered to Boxing South Africa as a public entity, and efforts will be made in 2013 to assist the entity to obtain a clean audit. A Boxing Indaba will be hosted in July 2013. SRSA will continue to support the Sports Trust, whose primary focus is on assisting communities by providing them with equipment, facilities, and other resources required to develop for development of sports and recreation. In 2013-2014, SRSA will explore the establishment of the Taban Levisi Player Benefit Program to assist indigent athletes with their identified social and insurance needs. One of the key components...
The service minister, I think it's better to follow on the script.
One of the key components of the sports plan is the transformation charter and scorecard. The baseline of transformation in South African sport needs to be determined, and the eminent persons group that was appointed in 2012 will fast-track this. Because of the importance of transformation for the future of South African sport, it is imperative that SRSA delivers on this focus area. SRSA will conduct a comprehensive audit of clubs in 17 of the 60 national federations, supported and determine what their primary needs are. A system to classify and grade clubs will also be developed. Club support and development will be offered on the basis of an amended franchise system, with selected national federations being provided with expertise regarding club governance and the provision of standardized documents. Key deliverables for 2013 will include the production of a club toolkit, a framework within which to establish and support clubs, and the initiation of the amended club franchise system. SRSA will assist identified federations to develop sport-specific training programs that can be accredited by CAFSIT and to support them to be accredited training service providers. The existence of accredited training programs combined with the availability of accredited service providers are key elements to expanding education and training in South Africa. A talent identification and development strategy will be developed and implemented in conjunction with a holistic academy system. Assistance will be provided to support the Dr. Khumalo Football Academy, where talented youngsters can be groomed for excellence. The South African National Defence Force, the South African Police Service, and the Department of Correctional Services will be approached to investigate the possibility of talent athletes being supported by their respective infrastructure. Operation Victory Lab will be initiated in partnership with SANDAF. Programs catering for the specific needs of the sport and recreation sector will be supported by a comprehensive research and development program. Students benefiting from the postgraduate development program in sports science will be supported with access to SRSA administrative resources to assist them with their studies. The department will work with SASCOC in ensuring that the athletes that succeed at the national competition level are supported to develop into elite athletes. The delivery of the South African Sport and Recreation Conference, SASRECON, needs to be improved, and the conference will be marketed to a broader group of potential participants. The Department of Health drafted a bill on alcohol advertising. SRSA will be responsible for the commissioning and coordination of research to measure what the impact of this act will be on sport and recreation. The Think Sport Journal provides a platform for intellectual debate within the sector and needs to be established as a respected publication. The second edition, coupled with the seminar, will be produced in September 2013. Government's commitment to anti-doping in sports requires continual support. SRSA, together with the City of Johannesburg, will be hosting the World Anti-Doping Agency Conference, the World Conference on Doping in Sport, from 12 to 15 November 2013, and the spin-offs from this need to be capitalized upon and integrated into sustainable programs. SRSA will continue to financially support the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sports Science and the Bloemfontein Laboratory to ensure that compliance to the WADA code is adhered to. Program 3, Mass Participation. The Ministerial Advisory Committee on Recreation will assist SRSA to actualize the essence of recreation. Over the medium term, the department will develop a single governance framework for recreation to strengthen the delivery of recreation programs. Cycling will be used to promote non-motorized sport. Initiatives in this regard will engage with the Beristanda Foundation, and SA Cycling and the Cycle for Life program will be launched in November 2013. A new initiative in 2013 will be support of the Move for Health Day, which is an international event created in 2002 by the World Health Organization to promote physical activity. SRSA will continue to fund Love Life, but the funding will be aligned with the objectives of the National Sports Plan and SRSA. SRSA will assist the provincial departments to ensure that the delivery of the National Youth Camp is a success. The 2013 National Youth Camp, held in all 9 provinces, is scheduled for 23-27 September 2013. The purpose of the camp is to reach young people leadership, is to teach young people leadership and life skills, national pride and practical lessons on social cohesion in rural outdoor environment through adventure and other fun activities. The National Sports Volunteer Corps program was successfully launched in 2012. Registration started in 2012, and this needs to be sustained to enable deployment by 2014. At the end of the 2012-2013 financial year, 864 sports legends were registered. The Indigenous Games will be repositioned as a family festival with a vibrant carnival atmosphere. It will take place from 20 to 24 September 2013. The Golden Games will continue to include competitive events for older persons with the conviction that people can significantly improve the quality of their later years by staying active and fully engaged in life. The Big Walk will be staged again on 4th of October 2013, encouraging participation in physical activity. Within the public sector, an interdepartmental league will be formally established in August 2013. The league will expand to include additional sporting codes as it develops, but it will initially focus on football and netball. Modified sport is identified in the sports plan as an important tool to enlarge the basis of sports participation in the country. The main aim of modified sport is to introduce new participants to sports in a simplified manner with a focus on fun and enjoyment rather than rules and competition. Sport for social change and development will be repackaged and expanded, and sport will be used as a vehicle to catalyze change in the following areas: the environment, HIV and AIDS, sport against crime, sport for peace and development, etc., etc. In addressing the priority of rural development, the department will support the Rural Sports Improvement Program under the guidance of the National House of Traditional Leaders. The program will involve a ministerial outreach to rural areas to distribute sports equipment. The Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Day will be held again in September 2013 to expose amateur golfers to a professional tournament and to give them the opportunity to play alongside professional golfers. A portion of the funds raised from the South African Sports Awards will be channeled into the Andrew Mlangeni chapter of the South African Golf Development Board. This chapter will be based in Soweto and will provide approximately 50 young and aspiring golfers the opportunity to receive professional coaching and assistance with the equipment and attire required. A further initiative to honor an icon will be the inaugural Nelson Mandela Sports Day, which will be launched in June 2013 in partnership with the South African Rugby Union and the South African Football Association. The Interschools League is a competitive program where each school will register its school team to participate in the leagues. 5 competition levels leading to the South African Schools National Championships. The National School Sport League will be launched on 13 March 2013, after which the championship will be assertively marketed in 2013 to raise the profile of the event. Initiatives are underway to establish a ministerial sports bursary to offer talented children identified at the national multi-coded age group tournaments an opportunity to study at sport-focused schools. Those athletes who fail to progress to an elite level will have the opportunity to join the club and continue to participate at a social level. The management of the mass participation in sport development conditional grant requires particular attention. Compliance from the provinces has generally been poor, and the funding categories applied were so broad that they were open to different interpretations. Program 4, International Liaison and Events. An international relations strategy with a rollout plan will be drafted during 2013, and this will include a shopping list of needs. Various bilateral exchanges are envisaged for 2013. South Africa is playing a leading role in projects of global importance, as reflected in the international agreements with UNESCO, the United Nations Sport for Development and Peace International Working Group, IADA and WADA, amongst others. South Africa will continue to support the full integration of the Supreme Council for Sport in Africa, SCASA, into the African Union. Structures both at regional and continental levels. In an effort to perpetuate these selected national and international sporting events exhibitions or conferences will continue to be used to showcase South Africa as a sports tourism destination. In 2013-14, the department will commence with the preliminary preparations for hosting ECAIA at the 2014 Commonwealth Games. Institutional and intra-governmental support will be provided to approved events to ensure that they are successfully hosted. The approach will be altered over 2013-14, with SRSA providing more comprehensive support to approximately 5 major events and mere approval endorsement provided to other events approved in line with the bidding and hosting of international sport and recreational events regulations. The Africa Cup of Nations 2013 Championship closeout report will be presented to Cabinet and distributed thereafter in 2013. Preparations for the Confederations of African Football, CHAN, will take place in South Africa in 2014. Will intensify. International travel for sports people, including SRSA officials, will continue to be supported by facilitating requests for assistance in acquiring visas and passports. Program 5, Facilities Coordination. The sports plan provides for the department to develop a national facilities plan and to establish a geographical information system to assist with a database on facilities and the development of the plan. This will be preceded by a comprehensive audit of all existing facilities where facilities will be created and classified. In order to effectively plan for and manage sport and recreation facilities, a common standardized classification and categorization system is necessary. This grading and classification framework will be used to inform the updating of the current facility norms and standards, which will be gazetted to ensure compliance. The Andrew Mlangeni Community Golf Course Development Program, as a beneficiary of the Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Program, will be given attention in 2013. There is clearly a need to develop golf courses in communities, particularly previously disadvantaged communities, as part of the golf development program. The department will initiate the development and or refurbishment of children's play parks by facilitating discussions between the relevant municipalities and organizations wishing to invest with corporate social investment. An announcement in this regard is expected in September 2013. Considering the substantial financial investment made in building and refurbishing stadium for 2010 FIFA World Cup, the department will ascertain how these stadia are being maintained and used and will produce 2 status reports per year. The department will work with the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, the South African Local Government Association and municipalities to maximize the use of the portion of the municipal infrastructure grant earmarked for building sports facilities. At the National Sports Endeavour on 21st and 22nd November 2011, it was agreed that further debate with SAUGA is required regarding the possibility of transferring the 15% ring-fenced grant from MIG to the budget of SRSA. In an effort to encourage participation, the department will appeal for the delivery of community gyms by municipalities that can be used in open spaces within communities. Boxers and other athletes in the Eastern Cape have been identified to be among those who should benefit from the provision of a suitable facility. It is envisaged that a large and more accessible gym that will cater for boxing and other sports as well as recreational activities will be identified in Mdantsane and be turned into a fully operational facility within 2013-14. SRSA and the German Development Bank will continue with the rollout of the program Youth Development Against Violence Through Sport. The overall objective of the Youth Development Against Violence Through Sport program is to use ball sport, specifically football, as a catalyst for transmitting life skills to children and youth in order to reduce violence and other social skills. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister.
Honorable members, I know the Minister was very fast. Very fast. This is sport. And you know, Minister is very energetic. So I'm going to give to members to interact with the presentation. Members,
thanks.
Should I give you 2 minutes while you are still digesting now? Just a bit, just. No, you can start, Honorable Norris.
No, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks, Minister, for your presentation. However, DG, what the Minister was presenting was an updated version of this that we got. And you see skeletons here, and the Minister had flesh. So we need an apology for that. The first one is to commend the Ministry for having hands-on on public entities, the cricket, the boxing South Africa, but maybe with the boxing South Africa, these problems of governance. Administration have been there, and the intervention, I'm not sure how many years you've been intervening, but seemingly there's no positive progress on boxing South Africa. Worth commending with the intervention, hard intervention with others, which we congratulate you for doing that. I'll talk about the talent identification and talent and development. To say, I think it's very key. You find that at school level, you have those learners that have talent, and because with the clubs, they register with money. They're from the no-paying school fee, and it's difficult for them to join the clubs. And then you find that when the talent identification is there, it's only those learners that are part of the clubs that get opportunities, but the ones that are displaying talent at school, there is no longer the referral. There used to be a process of referral. If you are good in soccer, you will be referred to development, whatever. And also, there is a school at Treasury. Yeah. There's a school in Altridgeville. I only got to know about that school when I was doing the workshop. And the school that is developing soccer for learners, it's not known. I was the leader of Gauteng in SATU. I did not know that there is such a facility. So the question of also marketing the access of these facilities, that they are there for those that are there, and then the question of recruitment and referring the best students to those facilities. The other one is on Banyana Banyana. I was at Dinaha, and I met a sister to a girl that is part of Banyana Banyana. And before that, I had read from the paper that where there are players at Banyana Banyana, they get assembled, they go and train together. But when they go back home, there is no support for them. They gym alone, they train alone as individuals. There is no structure that makes them to develop, except it's an individual achievement, and you have to work hard on your own. And the other one is on the school sports. to say I'm coming from Zocha Zem, where I grew up in Soweto, so like Jablani Mdem. And Jablani, there is a Jablani Technical High School where learners from Zocha Zem that are good in athletics or soccer or whatever, they would apply to go there. And there was a specific teacher there that was teaching everything that talks to sports, which public schools don't have. It's only because I don't know whether Jablani Tech had an extra money to pay the teacher for that. So whilst the school sports, so that it does not become, I say with the National Development Plan, that there is that intention of ensuring that at least in each school there has to be that teacher. But over and above that, there was also a training before 94 that the teachers will be taken to go and be trained on other sporting codes. For instance, it was cricket. Teachers were trained, schools were given utensils, whatever it is, sporting, whatever, facilities to do that. And it died down. And that sporting code of athletics, it's no longer taken as it used to be taken. And then the other one is on the academies. For instance, in Gauteng, there is that one in Kempton Park, where NEC is always sit there, the soccer one. It's
Eastland Park.
Park, yeah. There is that soccer one there. However, also, the access to it also is a challenge. It's a question of whom do you know, and you get through to that academy. I think there has to be a hands-on to those academies in terms of the admission policies and whatever, so that people that are supposed to have access are getting access and not the wrong people.
Thanks, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chair, I've got only three questions for now. My first question, Honorable Chair, some of the sports facilities are underutilized and vandalized or are not taken care of. My question will be, Honorable Chairperson, how will the department ensure that the resources are taken care of and used for the right purpose? And the second question, Honorable Chair, what are the strategic plans of the department to ensure that there is equitable distribution of sports resources to all communities, particularly the rural areas? And how will the department address the lack of resources, particularly in the communities? Thanks very much, Chairperson Rona.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think I must start with the last question on my group of questions. I really missed the presentation on the financial part of the department. I was actually looking for that one. Maybe the department will give us, after this, some more information in that relation. Then in regards of the training of teachers and the sports facilitators at schools, what assurance do we have that this will actually happen at the schools in the different provinces? Because some schools, they are actually a lack in this development of teachers and facilitators. Do you have promise from the schools and from the Department of Basic Education, because from your department there are a lot where you actually is doing to support the different schools. And that is actually my worry. And then in connection with the oversight and the monitoring to the municipalities, a lot of money is actually invested in the development of sports facilities and also recreation in the different municipalities. Here in my town, a lot of money is actually or has been spent on the development on that situation. But when spending that money and the development of those sports facilities, the municipality and the community and the sports clubs actually do not adhere to the maintenance of those facilities. Now, from your department, do you have a monitoring and evaluation system in place to check that? And the other one is in connection with the backlog of sports facilities, especially in the rural areas. And this backlog is very huge. It comes very far in the past. So, and the department do have a huge duty to address this. But I think we must actually go into a plan what we are going to do in future to address that problem. We will never be able to out iron it. Never. But we must start at one point so that we can just check what we as the Department of Sports and Recreation can do to address that problem. And then recently we visited taking Parliament to the people of Mpumalanga. I think the Sports Minister and the Deputy Minister was. They were all also there. Now, in relation to that facility and also other facilities around the country, and I already posed this question, but I think I must stress this one also. A lot of money is invested there, but I can see immediately that day when we arrived there, it is not properly maintained. Do you also, or did you also saw that situation and what processes are actually in place to help that district to maintain that sports field? Because if it is lost to the community, it will be a huge loss to our community. And the other one which actually worried me is the vehicles, the motor cars and the combis drive right over that cement. I think it's a netball or yes, they drive right over it. And in that situation, we must never allow it. Even if we as members of parliament are visiting or have some gathering there, there must be some kind of obstruction so that the cars can't go over that facility. And then the last one actually is Chairperson, in relation to the development of sports clubs. Do you also have some kind of spreadsheet or monitoring system what actually happened in the relation of the development of sports clubs in the different sports codes? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry for unfortunately just running out like that. There was a very urgent thing I had to take care of. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, for your presence here. We really appreciate having this specific delegation here. This is my passion sport, so I really see looking forward to all these meetings with you. And specifically, Minister, to see you here, we really appreciate it. We know you've got a very tight schedule. The one problem that came up, and it was on the news as well, and this is obviously with the strategic planning, and this is the next Olympic Games. Finances and resources towards planning for our athletes to perform, because obviously we want more medals. So I would like to know about that. The thing is, I just want to know, I mean, at the end of the day, we want to have results. Now, to achieve these results, obviously, there would be specific training programs and training camps for these athletes. Are you, Minister, going to somehow try and provide money for our athletes so that we look even better? I know we've been the number one country in Africa in the Olympic Games, but we really want to achieve much more than we have previously. So this is the one issue that I want to drive with you, that we look at that. The second issue, as you know, I'm a big rugby fan, and I'm not going to talk about my Shark team at the moment because everyone will maybe go into tears or something with me, but so I'm leaving the Sharks camp. But when we look at this new Super 15 franchise that came in the Kings, the whole idea was for transformation in rugby to take place, because we really need to encourage the Eastern Province Union, where they had this whole vision of bringing guys into rugby. Now, speaking specifically about bringing black players into this game, which we believe there is in that area. But as a keen rugby supporter, I'm not seeing that in rugby, Minister. And I'm not specifically just talking about that rugby union, but because of a lot of other rugby unions as well. But specifically with the reasoning why we brought this union into the Super 15, I really do believe that the transformation is not taking place there. It's players that's been bought over from other provinces with all these imports. And I really believe that there are quality players that we can use there. And so as for this, I would like to really ask you, what are we doing as the department to see to it that this transformation really do take place? I know we don't want to do window dressing in sports. We have to have the best players. We know that. But somehow this transformation process must be incorporated. And then I just want to, my colleague just took one here. Okay, he said here, we can't breastfeed Boxing SA forever. What plan do we have to capacitate them to run their own affairs? So I will ask that question for my honourable member next to me, as I know he's a man with a lot on his heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Baba. Minister and Deputy Minister, before I just want to let me, I've got a few questions. Firstly, it's around, you know, when we had the briefing from Basic Education, when we interacted or wanted to know around the school sports, the impression that we got is that basic education is not much into school sports, which is a one factor. More especially that the two departments once presented an integrated plan on school sports. So one really doesn't, you get that from the side of the sports, but when you go to the education, you don't really get that commitment. One is more interested, what is the level of relationship or partnership in regard to school sports. Honorable Minister, you spoke about club, I think it's audit on clubs, amendment, franchise. I just want to check if you can maybe try to clarify that. I'm asking this because we, from provinces, you find that we are having clubs, but they are not effective as one would expect them to be. What is that issue? I meant really, what are the issues that you have picked up, and what is that you really be focusing on that? Also, the issue of talent identification. My understanding is that whereas it's recreation, but with mass participation, really, we should be in a position that to say this is what we've achieved. This we have identified. So we have a number of learners or whoever, you know, from the community that we have identified and which we are developing. I don't get that, but if we got maybe numbers, then we should, maybe I'll be happy if the department can brief us on that. The issue of compliance from provinces, Minister must really indicate this one. This is a worrying factor, particularly when you interact with the provinces.
you one doesn't get, maybe I should be specific because I'm from the Northwest. As a member of parliament, you know what is happening on the ground. You'll make your recommendations that, you know, this is in this community, this is what I've picked up, this is the talent, if maybe the department can assist with equipment. They'll only, you know, it's like they're focused on soccer. I just want to check what is happening, because this is the reality. When you ask for equipment, you go and look and check kids playing cricket. They don't have resources. They don't have equipment. You make a request, request, but sometimes it takes, you just even end up giving up. But I saw what happened in Mpumalanga, where it was easy for the minister to assist the needy community. Why can't this happen in the provinces? Because this is actually where the talent is. If we are not taking that serious, it is going to create really problems. But I feel that provinces are not taking this thing very serious of assisting the needy communities. Lastly, Minister, you talked about this talent pact. Although I know that because you'll be working together with the municipalities, are you looking into maybe having norms and standards of what type of pass should we be having? Because you get into the township, you see an area, and when you ask, that thing is a park for children. But really, you can't even use that. Thanks. Those are the questions.
I will defer some of the questions which are operational in nature to the DG, and I think the Deputy Minister will have identified some of the gaps and will also respond to some of the questions that honourable members have actually identified. The first question, honourable member, relate to teacher training and the Banyana Banyana. I think the point about Banyana Banyana, part of the problem you've got is that there is no leak from which these girls come from. They come from different clubs, and one doubt even whether they play football at that level on regular basis. And I suppose that part of the Legacy Trust fund of the 2010 FIFA World Cup is to assist us to get women football going, because it has become popular and girls are quite enthusiastic. And quite clearly there is a lot of talent. A lot of girls want to play the sport and so on. I think if we leave it to SAFA alone, it is not something that in the near future will be realizable. So I suppose that it is a matter that we need to ourselves to pay attention to. What we have done is that it's not our task to establish Premier Leagues. It is incumbent upon federations to take up that initiative. Our focus really has been on netball as the number one sport of women in the country. So we did not focus really on Banyana Banyana and so on. And I suppose, leave alone all the issues that we are engaged with SAFA, the real, the fundamental program that we need to focus on is the development of women football in South Africa. I concur with you in what you have identified. No structure, no follow-up, no consistency. The actual training club, which is the bigger club, is Banyana Banyana itself, at a national level, pumped up and supported by SASOL. So without that, there is no, most of these girls are actually coming from universities. That is where women football is quite effective and so on. So that is the case. The question of teacher training really is linked to our program of a volunteer corps. We want to deploy people with a varied expertise to go to the schools and do this job as legends and so on, not but just pick up legends and send them through. But we need an accord also with teachers in terms of our memorandum of understanding with SATU and other unions agree with us, and they've committed themselves to volunteer part of their work to fulfilling the task of sports development. And I suppose in the context of our own program of the Volunteer Corps, we then have got to take this matter up, but equally in the context of the teachers themselves volunteering their time to participate in that in the program. On the question of the sports facilities, I agree that they are underutilized and have vandalized most of the cases. We've got a task and a responsibility. That is why here we talk about categorization, and also we talk about the database of the facilities so that we know which ones are underutilized, vandalized, and that we can actually come in, because you find that you can give examples in most of the areas. You do have facilities, but those facilities are vandalized, and local municipalities are not looking after them. And it's coupled to the question of Carolina, where people complain. We've got to bring and move society on this question of social cohesion, move society away from a sense of entitlement. Teenage Dadla was not born in the era of lawns and FNP Stadium. He was a talented youngster, prolific, multi-talented, in the era of the dusty streets.
Yeah.
And now in the era where we've got at least something, we complain like as if we don't have anything. I can take you to different townships. It is correct, the version that there are no facilities in the rural areas. But the commitment of the rural mass when it comes to sports, sports for fun, sports for extramural activity, sports for talent, is incomparable to those who've got something in the townships. And I think that this mentality of entitlement and people not utilizing what they have and preserving what they have in order for us to succeed is what is killing us in terms of the preservation of sport facilities in different areas. I can take you right in Soweto. We built cricket ovals there in the Cricket World Cup. I can take you back there. Those ovals, it's actually a dustbin. They are not even utilized, but it's a dumping ground and all of that. The question that there are no facilities, we ourselves who are beginning to affirm it as though it's a reality. You know Goebbels, old Nazi propagandist, repeated one thing many a times to the point that propaganda changed to be from lie to reality. And we begin to believe our own propaganda that there are no facilities. There are facilities. We need to do more to build extra. But those that are there, that are dilapidated, must actually be revamped. And we've got to begin to teach communities to look after their own facilities. Mm-hmm. When we're engaging with the Department of Basic Education, they said to us that, no, it is not our task to build soccer fields. But later on, they said in terms of norms and standards, they require that when you build a school, there must be a facility in that particular school. I don't understand how can you teach a child without an extramural activity and you expect that person to succeed. Look at the development of facilities and talent in the Model C schools compared to what we have. It's compulsory. Part of the curricula of the school include sports. First and foremost, when you take your child to school, one of the requirements is to choose for her or for himself to choose what sports you are going to follow. In our schools, physical education is not there. And we can do much. It's our job. We ask Department of Basic Education, leave us with sport. You've got many problems, including delivering textbooks. Give us sport. And then we can deliver, and that is our job. I mean, this is what we are employed for here as this team. We are not employed to deliver textbooks. We are employed to develop talent and to bring sports in the schools. Now, we don't have cooperation, full cooperation, 100%. I'm not going to lie to you and say that we've got 100% cooperation with basic education on this particular. No, we don't. We are arguing and we are fighting, and we are not about to retreat on that particular issue. We are fighting, and we also ask at some point joint committees. There's no way we can move these youth except grassroots development. We've got to move them somehow to focus them on something. When they are bored, they think extramural activities, drugs, pain, all of that, because they don't have role models. The days when kids who do better in school and they stand in front of a parade and they get to be introduced as the best are over. They're not there. Because building a role model begins at the rudimentary level, from where you attend school. And you get to be inspired and you get to be involved. In those days, even under apartheid, you will go to school at the beginning of the school. There will be, I didn't know how to run, but I did athletics, compulsory. And then my teachers realized that I can't do bugger all. All what I can do is to speak a lot and debate. So I became a debating individual. And that was my stuff. I did karate. And then all of those things, I didn't do them in the township. I discovered myself and my talents in the school. And that's where it starts. It doesn't mean that if you run in the beginning of the year and all of that, you'll be a talented. We knew already before we even start, that is our champion. He's going to win. We are just doing this thing because Menier says we must do it. I mean, it's the beginning of the school. Those things are not there. Kids, when the schools reopen, they idle. Yet when our teachers were preparing us for school curriculum for the rest of the year, what did they do at the beginning of the year? They used to drill us into sports. Mm-hmm. By the time the school curriculum begin around February, we've got sports stars, we've got an athletic team, we've got all of these things. They don't do that in the schools today. They demand more money to do that particular. Yet school and sporting codes was a collective expression of a school. It was not an individual task of a teacher who volunteered his services. It was an overall activity of a school that it is compulsory for us to partake in this particular thing.
And
the teachers and all of that. That is why each and every teacher will be able to share his or her expertise. I'm a teacher who can teach kids how to speak good English and to become good debaters. The person who taught me how to speak English and to be a good debater was not a teacher who had a specialty, and neither was she my class teacher. Was a teacher in the school because he was overall responsible for the team, and it so happened that the people who were debating were comrades. Because we are not into this thing of running, and then it was fashionable. So when kids come see us, they're speaking perfect English, better than the queen herself, you know, and so on. Now, you go to school, you are inspired because you are followed, and then you can even get a girlfriend because it's important. You are an important person in the school. Yeah, this one is the best debater. This one is the best footballer. This one is what one. That inspiration is not there. So what makes these kids move at the school? What makes them tick in terms of lifestyle and follow the good things? That's why then in the biggest thing, their biggest role model than the immediate case of activity is a street bash. And it's quieto. And that's the only thing that they know. And when they get into that, they drink, they do that. Nobody can tell me when he was still young, you never tested anything. Drugs, whatever. But you are quickly out of that because of the activity at the school, because there is a thing. So I'm saying that the question of teacher training is part of our vision, and we're implementing that with CatSitter, and it's part of the things that we want to do. We want collaboration with the Department of Basic Education, but we're not waiting. We're drilling, we're working very hard. Where we've got cooperation, we are effective in the Free State, in the Western Cape. In other provinces, we're making headways. We're not waiting. So what have kept this thing of school sport not to move is because a lot of time in the past 19 years was spent on debating territorial battles. Once there is money allocated to basic education for sports, you'll see them coming to the party. But as long as there's no money, no, it's not our business. We're busy with many other things. And yet it is our responsibility. So we want that, and we want support on this thing, and we're making headways and so on. DG will speak about academies, but I suppose what you speak about in terms of SLN Park, some of these academies like SLN Park have actually, it was an initiative of Transnet with SAFA, but it didn't work out in any way. But in the broader context of the academies, DG will speak about that. And then sports facilities, I said we agree about all of these things. We are working on that. What is interesting also, what I didn't say about the sports facilities, is that MIG, we are advocating a position as a department and the ministry that says, give us the money, we will allocate sports facilities. If you ask me now to come and build a stadium in Mthatha, which is an unfinished business, or Odi Stadium, or Mafikeng, I can just look at you in your eyes and just smile. I can't do anything. I don't have money to do that. Yes, and the fact of the matter is that if I've got facilities budget, you give me that MIG grant and all of that, we allocate it, we'll know our priorities. We know where we need facilities, what kind of facilities, and all of that. So this audit we're talking about, we're going to undertake, is coupled with the discussion with the Treasury to give us the money. They are very receptive. Overall, they agree. And then DG can speak about that particular point. Because this allocation of 15% to us doesn't work. Because when there is a toy-toy in the municipality, they are running short of certain things, they take that 15%. We can't be spending money on soccer fields. Our people, they start to remember that they've got people who don't have toilets and all of that. So the money is redirected to the toilets because they didn't build toilets with the money that was allocated for toilets. So they take 15% and then they give it to the No, this is a waste and when things are basically budgeted. So if we've got the money, we'll preserve it. We will. You can hold us accountable, and then we will know where to allocate the money in terms of facility. And this is what we're basically doing. The financial part of the department, DG will deal with that. Oversight and monitoring to municipalities, exactly. That is why we had a municipality conference focusing on this in this particular issues. DG will deal with the issue of the club system. Taking Parliament to the people. Tomorrow we are, on Friday, we're in Mpumalanga. Just to tell you, on all the commitments we've made. We're not just turning the soil, we've identified the school, we've went to the sports trust, we've got the 1 million rand put aside like we committed. We're going to upgrade facilities in the schools in around that area. On Friday, we're giving sports equipment to the schools, all schools in that area where you went to. We're doing sod turning in that particular area to upgrade that facility where you had the people were complaining about. And then we've got a big community meeting with councillors, the mayor. I've already met with the mayor, the MEC of sports. The action is rolling. On Friday, it's a revelation of your work of taking Parliament to the people. So that's what we are basically doing. And that is going to happen definitely on Friday. So watch television. And so you will see us there shining.
Shining but working.
The question of the Super 15, DM can speak on that. But I just want to say that the question of the Kings was flawed from the beginning because you can't transform and bring the people you want within one season because it's either they perform or they're out. And that is what forces this thing of getting the best players and all of that because you need experienced players. You can't just develop players and put them in the deep end. There's nothing you can do. In the long term, they can produce the results, probably. But we've got an academy there with SAR in the Eastern Province to the tune of 35 million, which we supported from the Lotto. And we've been working with SAR to ensure that we're able to reach out to the things that we said we must do. I think it is up and operational now. So we've got to still go back to ensure that it achieves what we have set for ourselves. So I agree with you. I mean, we are not going to achieve that with this team. Not at all. And it's a fallacy. that said you can never transform team with a lot of blacks and all of that into it and so on. But that does not take away the task of transformation with all the other franchises, and which I think that is very much important. Chair, I've answered the issue of basic education. The DG will deal with clubs, talent identification, compliance from provinces, and norms and standards for children parks. So, dear. Speak on boxing. Okay. Well, boxing, the PSA, we've got challenges there in terms of governance, which we're addressing in the overall turnaround strategy of boxing. But over and above that, we're convening a boxing endeavor to ensure that there is a consensus at the boxing, among boxing promoters, boxers, and everyone else in terms of what needs to be done. With regard to boxing, one of the major problems we had was getting broadcasting sponsorship for boxing. Now, that is delayed because of Branko, who's threatening to take us to court all the time. But we have agreed that we will take him on, come what may, to support BSA, because that is in the interest of boxers, because these boxers are exploited by promoters. Mm-hmm. Not all promoters, but many boxers have lost their titles. Mzonke Fana, Noni Tenge, they fought and they could not defend because of selfish promoters out there. And the big piece of the money goes to the promoter. Yes, you've got to make money being a promoter, but not to the point where you exploit the boxer. You get $6 million to stage a fight, and then you give the winning purse to the boxer, 100,000. You and your broadcasting persons, chummies, you walk away with the tune of about $5 million. You share among yourselves. And then what is the reason for boxing and you call yourself a professional if you can't make money? Yeah. And these are part of the problems and the revelations that are coming. But we need a consensus and a whole lot of things, redefining the fees at the level of boxing. That is what the Indaba is going to achieve. But at the same time, to get boxing moving on the screens and television, we should have signed by now. I've given the DG a directive to sign with SABC Supersport. Now we're banning alcohol. We already were having a promise of support, because we want boxing back to the screens full time and big time, and the beneficiaries we know, it is the boxers themselves. But we need to straighten up certain things in terms of the law and consensus among promoters and everybody in the boxing endeavor. That's what we want to do, because boxing is big in any way and well supported and so on.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, Minister and Deputy Minister, let me start with the issue of talent identification and whether we have a system of referral for children, and secondly, how many children have already been identified and supported in this regard. We only started last year, and I think the context must be understood, because it is true, after 1994, there was no longer a feeder system. Before, you knew if you were from this primary school, the primary school was linked to this high school, and that high school was linked to this, and children will be fed from one primary to the other. Most likely in many townships, because of spatial planning, you'll find that the high school and the primary are side by side, or there's a middle school next door. So consequently, that feeder system changed dramatically, and also with parents taking children to schools in town and so on, the whole system was disrupted. But consequently, sport also suffered in terms of talented children who were known to be sent to good schools according to that. So we are now in the process of establishing the sport focus schools. We have prioritized 16 codes, which I have presented before the committee at our last engagement.
And of those 16 codes were further prioritized five, the so-called the Big Five, football, rugby, cricket, netball, and athletics. And these are schools we are now designating. With rugby, they already have 50 designated schools. And we want to grow that number with a further 50, but this time taking historically disadvantaged schools to increase on the numbers. With cricket, they've got 40 designated schools where talented children can be routed to. There's one slight challenge, though. We have started a ministerial sports bursary where we give children who are identified as talented bursaries to be able to afford these schools, because by design, majority of these schools are already Model C schools and former and also private schools. Now, their fees don't come very cheap. To go to that school is a tall order. The other difficulty and challenge at this level is the issue of admission criteria for these children. A child may be highly talented, but may not be academically the most brightest. So a child may pass with about 50, 55, but is highly, highly talented. The admission criterion of most of the schools do not allow for such children to come through. So if you do not have a B in maths, you will not make it to the school. You know, you have to have passed maths with about 70 or 80 for you to be able to get there. So we are trying to negotiate the existing schools, particularly in cricket and rugby, that their school governing bodies amend their admission criteria. So this now, each and every single school governing body, according to the South African Schools Act, will have to pass a special resolution of that sort to amend this and to also declare the schools as a sport focus school for cricket or for rugby. As it comes to football, netball, and athletics, we've got very, very few schools like that that are dedicated to this, three of which are here in the Western Cape, and in Gauteng there are four of them. And all over, there's a sprinkle of either one or two, and so on. So we need to scale up these schools, particularly for the Big Five, for athletics, netball, and football, to an average of about 10 schools per province as a start, so which will make up 90. The remainder of the other codes, which are part of the priority codes, volleyball, basketball, what, we are now asking the Department of Basic Education to designate at least two schools per province as a start. When these schools are taken all cumulatively together, they will make 870 schools to start with, which is our sport focus schools. Now, the process of getting the schools and the SGBs to pass the special resolutions on which we can contract the schools, it's very, very slow. It's painfully slow. And we have this far only managed to achieve, even with the existing schools of rugby and cricket, which make up 90, we've only managed to achieve about 109 schools with special resolutions. So now, this is a major challenge, and it looks like it will take us. We had thought that we'll get it going like 3 months, they would have been eager with the extra additional resources we give, but it wasn't to be. It looks like at the pace it's going, it will take us like 3 years to reach 870 schools to be designated as such, so they can be purposefully supported with more infrastructure, more resources, with them getting specialized teachers as coaches, and with us prioritizing to train those people first. But last year at the national championships, for the first time, we selected 14 learners, children who are coming from grade 7 to grade 8, going to high schools, and they benefited from the ministerial sports bursary. So they are being paid for purely on the basis of their talents. Of the 14, only 8 managed to go to the specialized schools, largely because there were children in other codes where there is no designated schools and we couldn't send them anywhere. But we still decided, let's pay for them wherever they are, but with the proviso that we need to move them somewhere. So I think this is the key thing. We have started this year again at the provincial championships. We will identify and select more children And in December, as well as the national championships, we'll continue to identify and select more children in this regard. So it is a continuous program. It will have to run parallel the identification process, plus the schools on which we have to send them to will also have to be accredited going forward. On the issue of the academies, this is a matter between us and SASCOP, which we are finalizing. We have our own talent identification and pathway strategy, and SASCOC has its own academy systems proposed document. We have an outstanding engagement between us and them at the ministerial level with their board to try and agree on what needs to happen, because at the core of this is the definition of who is an elite athlete. At what point do we say this is no longer a developmental athlete or an amateur and has to be handed over to SASCOC to go into the OPEX program? At what point, what are the key milestones for us to see? Is it athletes linked to provincial academies, or is it only those that are linked at the national level? At the level of regional academies downwards, we and SASCOC agree that that is the work of government. At the level of high performance centers, we agree that's the work of SASCOC. A dispute is the middle tier of provincial academies and the role that they have to play and which services, the division between the primary and tertiary services that have to be given to specific athletes. Because frankly, we are not a rich country, and it will not be possible that each and every athlete screened at a provincial level, we do all the tests for them. Because those tests don't come cheap. If we do an ECD, for instance, just to test your lung function and your strength and how long you can be, it will cost government about 3,000 per athlete, which we just don't have the type of resources to do that. So what SASCOC is proposing, we believe it is not feasible and we can't afford that system. So rather the tertiary services be left at high performance centers and only for national elite athletes. So that issue is still to be finalized, and then we can merge our two documents into one document for the entire country, and that will define the academy systems for the country. As it relates to the issue of how do we ensure equitable distribution of resources to make sure that all places, including rural areas, have access. Minister, when he spoke, he highlighted the issue of the new program we are rolling out with the National House of Traditional Leadership, being the Rural Sport Improvement Program. This year we'll see a massive injection in the rollout of facilities as well as equipment to rural communities. So I think Carolina is the first beneficiary of our new program. We have bought the equipment from the budget allocated to this specific program. Okay. So now, having said that, we believe that this new program with identified areas will ensure that for the first time on a large scale, not on an ad hoc basis, that we do deliver equipment under the custodianship of the traditional chiefs and kings, who will organize local tournaments, who will ensure and safeguard the equipment in rural areas and so on. So that's really the issue we are pursuing. Do we have an assurance that the teachers will be trained? We have started, really. Last year, SASCOC trained 3,000 teachers. It's a drop in an ocean, considering what we need to do. But the country simply just doesn't have the resources. Katsita in the sports chamber has dedicated 80% of the entire budget to training of teachers. It's easier for us to train teachers in rugby and cricket. But with football, the FIFA accredited courses, you'll get them at Nelson Mandela Bay University. There's a degree accredited by FIFA there. But on a coaching level 1, 2, 3, we have a problem because the modules are not there. We had contracted Pitso Msimane before he was appointed at Sundowns to write up the modules and Katsita to help him with technical specifications to bring them to a level where they can be accredited, so that the accredited manuals can then be used to get accredited training providers to teach teachers on these manuals. So the first 5 manuals were developed quickly because I guess he had a lot of time, he was unemployed. So those went quickly. But the last three are taking forever to come out with the cut sitter to be finalized so that the training program can commence, so that we can just accredit teachers on level one in football. Netball has nothing. We are only starting from scratch with the manuals and getting them to be done with the support of INSS, their international federation. With athletics, we have a major challenge as well, because also of the multiplicity of the sub-codes of athletics. It will take us a long, long time, honestly, to get the manuals ready in all of the sub-codes. There are generic manuals which have already been done, which applies to all athletes, issues of training, code of conduct, all of those things are there. But the specific training manuals, particularly on coaching, on the coaching framework, are very difficult to get out of. Then lastly, as it relates to the other codes, we have not even started. We're just focused on the big five. So the rest, basketball, what, and so on, will be work that we do post having a considerable. We have decided to have a narrow strategic focus on the big five and to start training in essence with this. This does not, however, negate the responsibility of federations to train coaches. Federations still have to train the coaches. So volleyball, basketball, handball, all of those must still train the coaches. And in the money we allocate them as federations, we also have a portion for them to train the coaches as such. On the issue of the maintenance of sport facilities, this is a big issue. We call it the maintenance curse, because giving a small, poor municipality that can't deliver water a sports facility without knowing how they're going to maintain it is also not an answer. And that is why in the consolidation of the MIG, the 15% of the grant framework, Treasury is working with us as the minister, said the appetite is very high. They have agreed that we'll have to ring-fence a portion of the money that comes with that grant for maintenance purposes. So when we deliver a facility to a municipality, it will be delivered with a maintenance policy, if I can put it that way. Otherwise, it's pointless to build a facility and 2 years down the line, it needs resurfacing and you just don't have the money to do it. And then 2 years down the line is just left on its own. And then this downward spiral continues. So we think that the answer to our facilities challenges and our facilities plan will be the consolidation of the 15% harvested from all municipalities put into one kitty. Together, this money jointly makes just below 2 billion a year. So that's significant. We believe that we can, with 2 billion, we can drive our facilities plan, including the establishment of the 53 regional sports hubs, with ease. And so we are confident that that will become almost an immediate answer. So we had been applying that we be given the money in 2 years' time, but Treasury is very eager to. They have set tight time frames for us to meet. And after the resolution of the MINMEC, we are working now towards meeting those targets so that we receive the money from April 2014. That's how quick Treasury is intending to get this thing going. It also scares us because we are an 880 million department a year. Now all of a sudden we're going to be a 2.8 billion department a year, and we simply don't have the capacity to push such a huge budget with ease without, particularly on a sensitive matter like facilities. We have to ensure safety issues, every other thing. So we'll have to build this huge edifice towards in the second half of this year. We'll start recruiting engineers, all of this in lieu of what is going to happen next year come April 2014. So that's really where we are with the issue of maintenance and ensuring that the facilities are rolled out. Let me deal with the issue of the DORA grant and the non-compliance by provinces. Last time I was here, I promised this committee, in fact, the first time and the second time I appeared here, I promised that we will not transfer a cent to a province that doesn't comply. And we have kept to our weight. We we had not transferred until compliance issues have been done. But this has had a huge negative effect, which also has an audit query on our part that we are transferring late. But like I said, we rather transfer late and than transfer to a province that is not complying. Otherwise, we'll have a problem. I'd rather sit with a lesser of the devil than the greater one. So as is, even this financial year, we have transferred to 7 provinces except 2. two have not complied. 2 which have not complied is Gauteng and Mpumalanga. They have not submitted their business plans as is required, and they have to submit it by end of March. We are now in May. The business plans have not yet arrived, so their first quarter grant has not yet been transferred. I have written 2 letters already to the HODs informing them that they stand the risk of losing the grant if they do not. And with Mpumalanga, it is even much worse because the province doesn't allocate an equitable share for sport. So they are fully dependent on the grant. Without the DORA grant, there will be no sport in Mpumalanga. So I think these issues are important to note, but they have had their own challenges. Minister knows about it, with their premier wanting to allocate all the money to facilities, and which the grant can't be used for that purpose because it was not intended for that. So as a consequence of this, their business plan has remained outstanding. With Gauteng, it has always been the issue of late submission. So I think they have to submit before they are saying we must close books for the last financial year. And because they were running a quarter behind, they received their last grant for the last financial year ending 31 March. They received it at the end of February. So they had 1 month to spend the quarter, money allocated for a quarter, and something of that sort. It's not me who says it, but that's where what happened. And now we are only closing books with them. I've been promised that we'll get the business plan next week. So hopefully we will start with them on a clean slate. The issue of the norms and standards for children's parks, yes, this is not being done in isolation. It's being done as the whole facilities norms, including one of the areas of focus is the children's play parks. Before, recreation was never our priority, so to say. Although we are sports and recreation, but recreation has always been a stepchild of the department. Since last year, and since the Indaba, we have decided on a vigorous program around recreation. And for the first time this year, this financial year, we are working on the provision of recreational facilities for children and also for older persons, including community gyms and so on. So all the norms for this are being done, and I think we have finalized, I think, 3 chapters of the national facilities norms. We still have to work hard. And largely most of the expertise, we do not have them. So we have to rely on the Germans and the UK people to help us with technical expertise around this in terms of our partnerships. But we are working on that. Lastly, it was the issue of the clubs and the franchise system. In essence, our realization is that 19 years into democracy, we have invested a lot of millions into club development, but we've got very few clubs to show for what we have invested. I think at our last audit, if you ask me about the spreadsheet, at our last audit across 88 sport codes, we had 53 clubs that we say we support. This isn't 53 clubs in the country. It is 53 clubs which we are supporting, meaning we give them equipment, we give them this. And this is across all codes. It means that there are codes we don't even give anything, or they are not clubs at all. Now, majority of the clubs have collapsed. They are startup, they are started. 3 months later, they have fought. Someone has disappeared with the equipment and this and that. So we have decided that in view of the fact that we don't have much of the community support, we should explore a franchise system. But we are aware that, as with all franchise systems across the world, the franchises tend to become elite because only rich kids can play there because their parents can afford to pay and the clubs can subscribe. So we have decided that the franchise must be owned by the state, which means that we are taking a huge responsibility for this. We have set aside with two provinces on a pilot basis some amount of about 9.8 million to run the franchise system. The pilot will run from September this year to September next year for a year, and we are running it in two provinces. The MINMEC decided that it be the Ethekwini Metro in KwaZulu-Natal and Mopani District in Limpopo. So we are looking at one rural node and one urban node to see what lessons can be drawn. In Ethekwini, it's athletics, netball and football. And in Mopani, it's just netball and football. So we're looking at these codes, those two districts, and see what lessons it will be and what the cost riders will be and how quick the clubs can progress through the different tiers on a promotion system to be developed and supported as such. So we will run this pilot. Unfortunately, I don't know how it's going to go, but we are testing the new model. We have varied the model applied in many countries, but in our case, the franchises are not private. They are owned by the state. The franchisors only make money according to how well their clubs meet the different milestones and they progress to different tiers and levels. The higher the club gets promoted to a better tier and it manages itself better, the more money the franchisor will make. It's as simple as that. And our staff in club development, we are retraining them and refocusing them instead of doing the site visits to go talk to the clubs and so on. They will never have capacity if these numbers quadruple overnight. Their job will now be changed and they will focus on monitoring only the franchisors and testing the authenticity of the reports we receive and liaising with them as such. So I think that's the new model that we are going to attempt from September to see. But clearly we couldn't go on the way we have been going on. Unfortunately, with the other seven provinces, they will have to continue with the old system up until the pilot results come out in September next year. So it's painstakingly slow, but we are not about to invest all our money, equivalent to about 27 million, into club development when we are really not sure what's going to happen. I think it will be responsible to do that. So we have to pilot on a small scale and see what happens. The last issue was our support for the athlete preparations in the Olympics. This is a matter close to the heart of the minister. I think what is not known is that we give SASCOC money every year. Our issue isn't to start in the Olympic year. I think only then in the Olympic year the spotlight shifts and people want to see how much we have given money. But we give SASCOC money each year, and the money is purely for preparation of Team South Africa. It's for them to start identifying athletes and doing this, and for them to also fund the OPEX program, their operational excellence program. The one thing we need to debate with SASCOC, and which the department has put on the agenda for discussion, is the issue of the criterion for an athlete to qualify for OPEX, because I think that is what is at key. It isn't whether the OPEX program is successful or not. It is, because the athletes that are in there, majority of them get a high success rate, but the program doesn't have a second layer for development. It wants you when you're already a star, you know. So there is no feeder to get into the higher echelon. They would say, for instance, if you are a team sport like hockey, you have to be in the top eight. You must be ranked into the top eight in the world for you to qualify. So consequently, both men's hockey and women's hockey will not qualify for OPEX. Although they may qualify for the Olympics, but they will not get like special support as such, which leaves the federation exposed and unable to support the teams to prepare. I think, you know, with the last occasion, the last Olympics, we have had to pay for the men's Olympic team to go to Japan to play the last potential for them to qualify. They did qualify, but even after qualification, because they were not ranked that high, SASCOC couldn't place those teams, even Banyana couldn't be on the OPEX program and so on. We had to pay Banyana and give them money to have a training camp in Germany to prepare so that they are not an embarrassment. Even with hockey, we had to do the same thing and so on. Even with rowing, the rowing team that won the gold there would normally not have won that gold because there wasn't money for them. They were not on the OPEX program, but yet they had to prepare for the Olympics. We had to come in additionally and ring fence money, 3 million, and give it to that to rowing South Africa. And you saw Bridget Hartley and the men's light four won the bronze and gold respectively, because we had decided to give additional support. In that Olympic year, we gave additional 37 million in addition to the 48 we give to SASCOG over a 4-year period to prepare for Olympics. So consequently, it will be a fallacy for those who say that we don't support SASCOG in preparation of Team South Africa. In terms of our divisions, we have no say about who they select. But indeed, the matter we need to raise with them is who qualifies for OPEX, you know, and is in a country such as ours, is number 8, ranked 8 in the world, a better bet, or shouldn't we be looking at everyone ranked in the top 20? It's a debate that we must have and decide, and also the program itself, its expansion, and how much will it be to fund the expanded version. But the second tier athletes must be supported, because most of our medals came from the second tier athletes. Bridget Hartley, the only people who were in there and who still got the medals very well was Caster and Chad and Cameron. They were already on the OPEX program. But Bridget Hartley and the rowing team were not on the OPEX program, but they still got the medals with the support. So this is why we think that it ought to be expanded a little bit, and it's a debate we'll have one day. But we do give a lot of money. This year, the budget of SASCOG is increasing to 18 million a year. So 18, and in the Olympic year, we give more. So most likely, they will for the first time go beyond the 60 million mark that we give to them in a 4-year cycle to prepare for Olympics.
Sorry, I just want to, sorry, Chair, on the issue of what the DG is raising. I think, however, what is important is that we need, I understand this division about the Team South Africa. At the end of the day, Team South Africa should be our collective responsibility. And we're having a meeting with SASCOG, and one of the things we're going to be discussing is this thing. We need to know, if we say we're going to have 12 medals, where are they going to come from? I don't want a debate about how much money. If we've got money, ring-fenced, whether it is the lotto and government, and then we say we give it to you, 60 million, 100 million, prepare our team. We announce it. No secret manga, you give people 18 million, they go and buy chickens. No. We give you money, 100 million, to prepare our athletes for Rio de Janeiro. We reduce this complaint that during the Olympics, and after somebody says, I was supposed to be there, it was not supposed to be Oscar, it was supposed to be me. We don't want that. We want as a country to take a responsibility for Team South Africa, all of us. And then we come to Parliament once we have agreed on that, and we brief you. We've got so many athletes whom we are taking through this program. We are targeting so many medals because of this. And then we all know, even if it means we can approach, I don't think government can resist giving us extra money to prepare athletes for Olympics, because everybody wants glory. Even the Minister of Finance wants glory out of the Olympics. The country feels good, everyone. So the model of funding these preparations for the Olympics must be different from our long-term objective of meeting the goals of our national plan, so that we know that government is spending now after the Olympics. Immediately, you can go to Australia, you can go to England. You must see what they are spending now just on the preparation for the Olympics, not funding, just preparing their athletes for Rio. It is not something that is going to start in the Olympic year. Manga, you know, throwing a dice. No, we can make it there if we try. No. Now, how many athletes, we've got 100, how much we spend on them. What training are they getting? The best, and how do we benchmark ourselves against the best? Because many countries have taken Olympics seriously. As Deputy Minister, even the Paralympics, you will never think that is Paralympics. They prepare, they are effective. It was difficult for our Paralympic team, this particular year, very difficult. You know the Chinese sensation girl, the small one, that girl was not discovered. Governments work on this strategy. We prepare, and then in the next Olympic, you're still thinking that chart will be the best. You're going to get another chart there from America. You don't know what happened and all of that, because governments take interest on what they basically want to achieve. So we must change our attitude and our planning around this particular thing.
Thank you, Minister. I think there was a question around the issue of the budget that DG has not responded to. But DG, before you respond to that issue, I think the issue, I'm happy that you raised the issue of the school governing bodies, because it's a burning issue for us as the select committee. And Minister, I'm going to appeal to you because of the relationship between basic education and this department, that we have been calling for the review of the powers of the SGBs. It doesn't only affect when we come to the issue of sports, but generally, you know, those powers, other people use them for their advantage. I think it's something that really we need to discuss, and we are calling for the review of the powers given to the SGBs. DJ, the other thing is that the minister spoke about to prioritize federations. Can you just maybe talk to that? Which are those and why those ones? And lastly, the presentation is from my side. I think I'm hoping you will come in. Your presentation is very silent on the issue of the deadlines that have framed. One doesn't get it. Maybe if you can also touch on that one. Honorable Pinky, do you still have something to... Are you okay?
No, I'm waiting on that other one.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But
that's okay.
Mine is a teacher. Mine is not a question, but it's a tea.
It's okay.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Yeah, let me just add on what the chairperson was saying, because I had also identified it. One of the powers of the SGB is to determine, to decide on the extracurricular. That's one. But also, if you want it to be a curriculum also, those powers also are given to the SGB. And there's also an additional powers that are given to the SGB, that is, then that they move from Section 20 to Section 21. Section 21, then they're given those extra powers again. Then they end up determining everything. When government comes and wants to do ABCD, placing learners in terms of admission, no, they can't, because South African Schools Act says this. So, like, we are moving very slow in the resolution. The SGB is refusing, and you can't do anything if the SGB is refusing because of the powers that Parliament has given them. So the ones that are relating to sports, the extracurricular, maybe we can also move faster than education, when education is still massaging the SGBs in terms of admission. You can also make noise about the extracurricular and ensuring that those schools are declared focus schools. On the OPEX, is it the board that decided on those high standards? How can the department ensure that those high standards, they meet South African standards rather than they decide on international standards that we don't have? So the question of how do we break in and intervene in that, whether it's SASCOC board, how is it difficult that you can be able to infiltrate that? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. Mine is just a plea to the Minister. Minister, you are coming from the Free State. And also, I'm coming from the Free State province. I'm sure you know there's an area called Edenville. It's a Smolanyana area. It's between Kronstadt and Heilbronn. Honorable Minister, you go there Monday until Sunday, starting from 4 or 5 o'clock. These young boys and girls are playing soccer. That is the area of soccer player in that area. But unfortunately, Honorable Minister, we don't have, I don't know, this may be one who will say it's a sports ground or it's old stadium. We know every Sunday, each parent know after coming from the church. All of us were taking our own chairs. You go there, just watch these young boys and girls playing soccer on daily basis. And also it's assisting us to minimize this issue of pregnancy. You go to the police station, you talk to the station commissioner, also he minimized this thing of a crime. Please, Minister, I don't know, because I was trying to talk to the MEC under the hotel to say, can we come here, just assist us? Because there's nothing. That area, if you know, it's a rural. We don't even have a pep store there. To enjoy ourselves is to go to church. After coming from churches, then we go and watch this young playing soccer there. Please, if you can assist us, Honorable Minister. We know sometimes we can be these young boys when they take this mic, we are still at the Sotumut. But under Jim Balula Ute, Kretle Stadium, playing soccer, we must stay away from drugs and what. When we sit there, we understand my pain. If we can go there just to assist our young children, maybe one will be happy. Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson, can I just ask, point of information? Our sister spoke now by roping in the minister. You come from the Free State. I come from the Free State, but she's declaring.
I'm sorry. maybe before I give it to the Free State as ministers, which also relates to my story, there is an area in Gauteng, it's Lobo Park. It's Freedom Park and it's Naturena. Mm-hmm. We had a public meeting in Biso 2 weeks back. Freedom Park is now known in Gauteng as the worst area in terms of brutal rape and killing. They rape women when they get to work or after work and they dump them. There's a space there, an open space. So the community is saying from Freedom Park, Slovo Park and Naturena, there's nothing like recreation, something. No library, no ground, even the dust ground, it's not there. So they're also saying, you do something, at least maybe this space, like fortunately there was an MMC from Joburg to say that field that is used by the Tsotsis to kill and rape and dump them there can be scrapped and at least something for them to keep themselves busy. Also the drug, they say they utilize, they are alcoholics because of they're doing nothing except to think about doing wrong things. Ministers, can you then respond?
Yeah, no, I think it is easy to attend to a situation like what the honorable member there was raising, to give support to already existing initiatives at the local area. And in that particular instance, I think we don't have to wait. We can get in touch with our office and the department, the DG, so that as part of our outreach programs, we can basically support such initiatives. So it's not something difficult. So I was going to ask, if we have finished, the DG can take you through the finances. Is it possible we can be released?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, yeah. Much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the priority federations, what they are. Mm-hmm. And they are athletics, basketball, cricket, chess, football, gymnastics, netball, rugby, volleyball, table tennis, hockey, swimming, softball, boxing, and goalball. Then we have also added the indigenous games codes, Yakskei, Mrabaraba, Hoho, Khati, Dibeke, Indonga, and Nchuba. So we have added those seven codes of indigenous games. So these are our priority codes for the country. And the reason and the rationale why we chose this code was that first and foremost we wanted to assess which codes have a potential for mass participation. And largely this will be team sports because they can take so many children all at once. And we also said which of the codes do we have the bulk of the facilities already rolled out. And we found that football, netball, and those are what we already, and even rugby, most of the schools already have rugby fields and so on. And that we decided to start where we were most strongest. But we also said that we should have codes that will help us also with transformation and with redress. And there we looked at codes such as tennis, such as swimming and so on, and we said we need to bring them in so we can also have transformation programs in those specific codes to allow for more black participation. We also wanted to know the codes that will ensure greater participation by both girls and boys and men and women. And we looked at all of the codes that were to enable us to achieve that. And the codes like chess, like football, like cricket already have strong base of the girls' participation in them and the women format of the game. And with athletics as well and basketball, volleyball, all of that help us achieve gender participation and equal gender participation. We then also wanted the codes that will also promote participation for disabled sports. So codes have to show that they have a modified sport for disabled persons and those specific codes that also had the bulk of disabled people participating in them. So goalball, we also have football for the deaf and also football for the blind. And we looked at wheelchair basketball, we looked at all of this codes that ensures that including wheelchair table tennis and all of this. So this were the codes and the criterion which we used and applied our mind carefully in deciding which of these codes. And we also wanted codes that are affordable, that we can roll out with ease and quite cheaper. And and also the fact that our strategy on facilities was that we can't build world-class facilities in each and every school. So we wanted to promote the multi-purpose courts. So the courts that could, as many of them as possible, be able to be played on a single court in different intervals were also prioritized. So I think with that criterion in mind and with those considerations... So with all of that consideration and with the criterion having been applied, we then came with these 16 codes as the priority codes for the country. And within this, we further prioritized the so-called the Big Five. And we said, while all these 16 are what we should focus on as a country, we also have to have a special focus on this five, because if we have an impact on those five, we stand a greater chance of success as a country and on an international basis, both as an active nation but also as a winning nation. So those are the quotes, Chair. Then on the issue of the OPEX, yes, OPEX is a program of SASCOC. I think the challenge is the divisions that we had, which we have inherited. If the committee really asks me whether the South African sports system is the best we can have, I think no. I think there are historical perspectives to how we came to be where we are, and where government really mortgages largely its own functions to a private company, SASCOC, and says it will do X, Y, Z, you know, and also have to give it money, and government has no say in how the team is selected or what happens and so on. So there's historical evolution to those issues, and all attempts to try and change the South African sports system has not proven very effective. There is a lot of resistance and fighting by sporting bodies and codes in our country, and there is an unknown and unwritten maxim that says sport must be run by sport persons. You know, the key issue we need to be asking in respect of that is whether, having been a sports person yourself, does it necessarily qualify you to be a great administrator, or does it necessarily qualify you to be a better manager of a specific federation and to know what's right and what's not so right to be done? And I'm sure you may have seen with the recommendations Nicholson gave, he was advocating for a mixed board system of five independents and five from the sports sector, and with the chairperson coming from the independents, and the independents have to be included into the board based on the specific skills they bring to the table. Whether you are a lawyer or you are an accountant or you are a project manager or whatever, who has skills that you can bring to the board, so that the skill set of which the board possesses is diversified and able to ensure that these fiduciary duties are taken well. And I'm sure you know the stories of how SASCOC fought against the Nicholson thing, and how it, despite Cricket South Africa wanting to implement the same system Nicholson recommended, SASCOC was threatening Cricket South Africa to say, if you implement it the way it is, we will then suspend you, and you will be in opposition to the articles of association of SASCOC. So it looks to us that the articles are sacrosanct and they can't be challenged. So one of the things we have on the agenda of the minister and the board with SASCOC, we have to meet them. We have agreed before the end of May. So we have to get back to them. But one of the key things we'll be discussing is also this issue of transformation in sport, not just from a racial point of view and representative of players, but also from a governance point of view, to say to what extent can we. So as is now, we have no say on the OPEX program and what SASCOC does and what it doesn't do. And I think the reason I took you through this journey of where we come from is precisely because some of the things we as government are curtailed from doing. Even the last time when the athlete from the Northwest, Mahagwe, had qualified at the African Diamond Challenge and has ran a better race at in Thailand, and he has made all, and he thought that he had qualified. He was told that he didn't qualify, and the person who qualified was Oscar Pistorius in his place. Mm-hmm. And Oscar was then included in the relay for men, and Mahago was left out. He did appeal to us. But knowing the boundaries of what we are supposed to do and what SASCOC is supposed to do, we couldn't be seen as interfering. We had to refer the matter back to SASCOC, in which SASCOC wrote back to the minister to say, according to their criterion and rules, he has not qualified. And that's all we could do under the circumstances. But minister is correct. We believe we have to take collective responsibility for Team South Africa. Not that we want to select which players must play for Bafana Bafana or for the Springboks, but we have to have a greater say in what the policy around selections and what ought to be. And operation excellence is also an important aspect which we have to look at. So I believe I've answered partially, but we are at the ministerial level attending to this challenge that we are having. Let me start where Honorable Mule started, and perhaps start first by apologizing that what was presented and what members had doesn't seem to be the same. But I've just checked with the ministerial parliamentary liaison officers here, who said that they have submitted two things. Let me explain. We came here and presented the strategic plan before. So the presentation that members have is a presentation on the strategic plan, which we have already tabled before. But the APP is intended to help us expound on the strategy by giving practical programs which we intend to implement in realization of the strategy. I think the first thing to do would have been able to give the committee the copy of the ministerial presentation on the APP as well. So that as he speaks, we can relate with the two documents. But in the jealousy of time, we have decided not to start with the strategic plan first and only for the minister to follow with the programs in the APP. We just decided to go straight to the APP because we had tabled the strategic plan 2012-2016 to this committee before. Now, with it, we have submitted to that lack of papers our APP, which I think you'll have to forgive me because I took it for granted that the members have the APP and that in the APP for the first time we have matched the budget with the program. And at the back of each and every target and everything, we have shown how we have allocated money to each and every one of the sub-programs in respect of this. And we had also thought that because the document for the first time captures the narrative which the minister was presenting to explain the programs. So we no longer just list the programs like we used to before. We now explain what the programs are intended to do and to achieve, and followed by the targets that we set on each and every program with the deadlines, because the issue was raised as to we don't say when. I think maybe the minister was some of the things in his notes he hasn't given dates on all programs, but on most he has been mentioning this will take place from this day to that day, this will happen from this. We didn't include the targets in his narrative to say, because honestly, in all fairness, I thought that everybody has the copy of the APP because it has everything that the members are asking, including the budget allocations on each and every sub-program and on each and every target. So for the first time, we have attempted to make it much more easier for Parliament to understand what we're attempting to do. And we have slightly amended the format with the approval of Treasury of our APP. So ours looks slightly different. I've compared it with four departments already. It looks slightly different and in a simplified manner so that anybody reading it can relate with it and with the budget and all the works. But the structure of the budget hasn't changed. Treasury has said that for the next financial year, beginning April, we have to change the structure of the budget to align it to the new sports plan. So we're still using the old structure across five divisions, five programs, which the minister was speaking about. And the biggest beneficiaries of this still remain program. It looks like we spend more money in this, but it isn't mass participation. It still takes 50%, almost 50% of our budget. We get 880 million a year, which 500 goes to provinces as conditional grant, which we transfer as a DORA grant for mass participation and its promotion. Then we remain with about 380. Of the 380, about 200 million goes to federations as a transfer. The 88 federations and sport bodies and the sports trust and other sports NGOs share the 200 million, which effectively leaves us with about 180 million, to which we divide it in the five programs, administration, and so on and so forth. And you, I have just done a summary quickly of how we give the remainder of the money that remains with us across the different programs. Program one, being administration, gets only about 2.7 million to administer the office of the minister, the DG, what, the flights, all the works and related aspects. And program two sees a lion's share of the budget with about 89 million. This now is for our programs as a department. The most of the things the minister mentioned in here come out of this budget and are delivered as such. And then the, we allocate about 553,000 towards administration together with rental and all of those things for buildings and so on. And about 48 million goes towards compensation of everybody. And then we remain with 9.2 million.
Chairperson, I'm so sorry to interrupt the DG. I think what we as a committee can ask the DG, rather to give us the explanation now in this situation, can the DG not send us as members of the committee the information, the summary? I understand the situation of the document, but the summary of the document, what the DG is actually telling us now. That will be fine.
Yeah, DG, I think, you know, usually what happens, even if members are having the documents, they'll have a summary that makes easier because they do get their documents before. So I think this is only what the members were requesting, and then we'll get that. Honorable members, are you fine?
I'm fine.
Very fine. Not because of time that we'll
no,
trust
not
someone.
Because of time.
Okay.
I don't want to put the DG on a spot, you know?
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. DG, I think, let me just take this opportunity to thank the department. You know, this is only one department that always when it comes here, it doesn't come with the whole entourage. I don't know, maybe one day you'll explain to us why. Not really that we want numbers, but one would expect that because we've got like units, that people must be accountable to the units that they're heading. But I'm happy. I think that on behalf of the Select Committee, we must thank the Minister and the Deputy Minister, and also yourself as the DG of the department for the brief and elaborative presentation. And I think the issue that the Minister raised that it doesn't mean that there's nothing. I think it's upon us as South Africans to teach our people that use whatever resources that you are having. You go to the township is not to say that people were not playing a sport. They did play sports before even 1994 without resources, but they managed we managed to have heroes and leaders in our communities. I think this is very important that with the little things that we're having, little resources that we're having, we can make use of that and change our society. On that note, DG, we thank you, you are released. Honorable members, we've just got just three reports that we're supposed to adopt. You know, it's a procedure before we go for a debate, the presentations that we have been receiving.